Chapter 39. When I faced my old master, I did it with newly made staff and blasting rod in hand, with the ancient forces of the universe at my call, and with words of power upon my tongue. Fitz had more courage than I had as a child. He went to face his demons with no weapon at all. As his footsteps rapped steadily on the concrete floor, I worried about the kid. He was doing this on my say-so. What if Aristides wasn't hurt as badly as I thought? What if he knew some kind of restorative magic? Fitz wouldn't have a chance, and I would never forgive myself. I gritted my teeth and told myself not to borrow trouble. Things were bad enough without adding in a bunch of my own worries. That wouldn't help anybody. Fitz stepped into sight of Aristides and stopped in his tracks. "Easy," I said quietly. "Calm. Don't show him any weakness. You can do it." Fitz took a deep breath and walked forward. "Fitz," Aristides spat. He was sitting up now, his leg straight out in front of him. Butters's unconscious body had been dumped next to Daniel, who sat on the ground in a small puddle of his own blood, grimacing in pain and obviously disoriented. He'd bound the wounds closed, more or less, but it was clear that he still needed real medical attention. Zero and the other kids, several obviously detailed to watch Daniel and Butters, were standing around with pipes and old knives. "What do you think you're doing here, traitor?" Fitz faced him in silence. "You led those men to us. You endangered the lives of everyone here." Fitz almost seemed to dwindle, as if a cloud had passed between him and the wan light spilling in the windows. Dark, hostile eyes glared at Fitz from all around. A quick check with my senses confirmed that the sorcerer was using power. "He's pushing them," I said quietly, "making them feel hostility toward you. It isn't real. You've got to shake him, break his focus." Fitz gave a barely perceptible nod of his head. "I didn't lead them here. They caught me while I was trying to recover the weapons. They forced me to come with them." "That's not what the priest said," Aristides shot back. "The father thought he was helping me," Fitz replied. "There was no reason to hurt him."
"No reason?"
Aristides asked. His voice was dangerous, deadly, and smooth.
"That he should trespass here is reason enough, but he wanted to destroy this family. That is something I will not permit."
"Family, right," Fitz said. "We're like the Simpsons around here." Personally, I would have gone with the Waltons, but I liked the cut of the kid's jib. Aristides stared at Fitz with reptilian eyes and said,
"Give me one reason why I should not kill you here and now."
"Because you can't," Fitz said in a bored tone. "You aren't going anywhere under your own power. You're fucked. You need help." The sorcerer's voice dropped to a bare whisper.
"Do I?"
"Yep," Fitz said. "Wasn't like it wasn't going to happen eventually anyway, right? Sooner or later, you were going to wind up eating applesauce with a rubber spoon somewhere. You think a bunch of kids you terrified into following you are going to take care of Grandpa Aristides? Come on."
"I'll give you one chance," Aristides said. "Leave. Now."
Fitz tapped a finger on his chin thoughtfully. Then he said,
"Nah, don't think so."
Aristides blinked.
"What?"
"Here's how it's gonna work," Fitz said. "I'm gonna take the priest, those two guys, and the crew away from you. I'm going to get them some help. I'm going to call an ambulance and get you some help, too. After that, we never cross paths again."
"Are you insane?"
"I was," Fitz said, nodding. "I think I'm coming out of it now. I know you aren't coming back from Loopy Land, though, so I'm taking the crew away from you." Aristides clenched his fists, and his eyes blazed, and though he probably didn't realize it, his concentration faltered. The influence magic he held over the children wavered.
Kill him!
The flat-eyed children looked at Fitz. Zero started taking a step toward him. Fitz's voice was a whip crack, sharp and loud in the echoing chamber.
Stop!
And they did. No magic was involved. Fitz had something more powerful than that. He'd cared for those other kids. He'd thought about them, encouraged them, and led them. That was something every bit as real as mystic power and dark enchantment. And it carries a hell of a lot more weight. Love always does.
Zero?
Fitz said quietly. We're done staying with this idiot. Put down the knife and come with me.
Zero!
Aristides said sharply. I could all but see the strain in the air as the sorcerer doubled down on his influence working, struggling to force the boy to do his will. He shouldn't have bothered. It was over. It had been over since Fitz chose to walk back into that room. Fitz walked over to Zero and put a hand on the other boy's shoulder.
Z, he said quietly,
I can't make you do anything, so you tell me. Who do you want looking out for you? Me or him? Zero looked searchingly at Fitz, then at Aristides.
Don't listen to him!
Aristides said through clenched teeth, spraying spittle.
Without me, you won't last a day on these streets. The Fomor will take you all.
No, Z, Fitz said quietly.
They won't. It's okay. We've got help.
Zero blinked his eyes several times. He bowed his head. The old knife in his fingers clattered to the concrete floor. Another dozen knives and pipes fell to the floor as the other boys released them. They all went over to Fitz and gathered around him.
I'll kill you,
hissed Aristides.
I'll kill you.
Fitz faced the crippled sorcerer and shook his head. Then he did what was possibly the cruelest thing he could have done to his former mentor. He turned away and ignored him.
Zero?
Fitz said. We need an ambulance for the father now. Call 911. Don't move him. Let the ambulance guys do that. Zero nodded and pulled one of those cheap prepaid cell phones out of the pocket of his oversized jacket. He ran for the door, presumably to get a better signal. Within the next few minutes, rough but serviceable medical supplies had been brought out, and Daniel's wounds had been cleaned and bound tighter than he'd been able to manage on his own. Aristides tried to get a couple of the kids to pay attention to him, but they were following Fitz's lead. They ignored him. So the sorcerer just sat and watched it all in stunned silence. Maybe I should have felt a little bit bad for the guy. As far as his world was concerned, he had just died. Only he was still alive to see the unthinkable. A world that existed without him. He was a living, breathing ghost. Maybe I should have felt some empathy there. But I really didn't. Butters stirred and sat up groggily as Fitz finished up tying a second pressure bandage to Daniel's leg. Michael's son let out a short grunt of pain and then breathed deeply several times. He was still shaking and pale, but his eyes were steady. He met Fitz's gaze and said,
"Thank you."
Fitz shook his head.
I didn't do anything. You two were the ones who beat him.
The father was the one who beat him, Daniel corrected him. He knew what would happen to him when he came here, and he knew we'd come after him.
Butters grunted and spoke without opening his eyes.
Fort Hill wouldn't have played it like that. He came here to give peace a chance.
He groaned and pressed a hand to his jaw.
Ooh, ow.
Daniel frowned, thinking it over.
So he didn't want us to come after him?
Butters snorted. He knew we would come after him, no matter what he did, and he also knew that if the sorcerer went off on him, there would be someone to come along and do it the other way. He's a man of peace. Doesn't mean he's stupid.
Where is he? Daniel asked.
By the fire, Fitz said. That way, about 30 yards. The ambulance is on the way. Butters groaned and slowly pushed himself up. He rubbed at his jaw again and said, "Take me to him."
"Wait," Daniel said. "Fitz, you ran. I don't blame you, but you came back."
Fitz paused, pursed his lips, and said, "Yeah, I did, didn't I?"
"Why?"
Fitz shrugged. "Dresden. He told me that if I ran now, I'd run forever. And I'm sick of that." "Heh," Butters said. "He totally Kenobi'd the day." Dark eyes gleaming, he looked at Daniel. "Still have doubts?" Daniel shook his head once, smiling. Then he sank down to the floor with a satisfied groan. "The father, please," Butters said. Fitz nodded and led Butters over toward the gang's little camp. But not before Butters looked around and said, "Thanks, Harry. Good to know you've still got our backs." I watched them go to help Fort Hill quietly. "Sure, man," I said, though I knew no one could hear me. "Anytime." Emergency service personnel arrived. By the time they got there, weapons had been hidden. Stories had been set. Concerned adults had come to discourage some local homeless youth from playing and living in a dangerous old ruined building. There had been an altercation with a possibly drunken vagrant that had gotten out of hand. Things had fallen down, injuring several. It wouldn't have taken more than half a brain to see the holes in the story, but Butters knew the med techs. No one had been killed, and no one wanted to press any charges. The techs were willing to keep their mouths shut for a couple of greenbacks. Ah, Chicago. Fort Hill was in bad shape, but by the time they'd gotten him onto a stretcher and out to the ambulance, the angel of death was nowhere to be seen. "Ha! Up yours, Reaper girl." The father would live to not fight another day. Daniel went with the father. Aristides rode in his own ambulance. He was still stunned by what had happened, or else smart enough to look disoriented and keep his mouth shut. The Tex, after a few quiet words from Butters, strapped his arms and legs down for the ride. He never resisted. He never did anything. The doors of the ambulance shut on a broken man. As for me, I couldn't emerge from the old factory into the light. I had to stay in shadowed doorways to watch the proceedings. The afternoon must have been a warm one. The snow had visibly begun to lessen, and water ran and dripped everywhere. When everyone with immediate medical needs had been taken care of, I went back to where I knew Butters would be. Sure enough, he came into the business entryway to recover his duffel bag and the flashlight containing Bob's skull. Butters slung the bag strap over his shoulder and pulled the little spirit radio out of it. He dropped that in his pocket and took out the flashlight housing. Then he held it up and said, "Okay, job's done." Orange campfire lights shot in a stream over my right shoulder and past me into the eye sockets of the skull, where they took up their familiar glow. "See? I told you so." "Duly noted," Butters said seriously. I blinked at him and looked behind me, then back at the skull. "Bob, you were behind me that whole time?"
"Yeah," Bob said. "The nerd had me shadow you."
"Sorry, Harry."
Butters could see me, and I folded my arms and scowled at him. "You didn't trust me." Butters pushed his glasses up on his nose.
"Trust, but verify," he said seriously. "Don't take this the wrong way, Harry, but the testimony of a cat and a maybe insane girl, wizard or not, didn't exactly thrill all of us with its undeniable veracity."
"Murphy told you to do it," I said.
"Actually, Murphy didn't want any of us to take any chances dealing with you," he replied. "Things have used your appearance to get to her before."
I wanted to say something heated and ferocious, but all I could have rationally responded with was something like,
"You're right."
And that wouldn't have sounded very rational, so I just grunted. Butters nodded.
"And you've got to understand how bad the streets have been. The Fomor have no limits, Harry. They'll use women, children, pets, anything to get an emotional lever on you if they can. To fight that, you've got to have buckets and buckets of sang froid.
I grunted and scowled some more. But you bucked her orders. Butters scratched his nose with one finger.
Well, you know, it sounds cooler if I say I acted on my own initiative. I had a hunch.
Listen to Quincy here, the skull burbled, giggling. You had me, you dope.
I had you, Butters admitted. And I trust you.
And Murphy doesn't much, Bob said with cheery pride, which is probably smart. Someone else gets hold of my skull and who knows what they'd do with me. I'm a loose cannon. The wardens would waste me in a hot second.
Present company excluded, I said.
You don't count, the skull said stoutly. You were drafted.
Granted.
The point being that I am an outlaw, and chicks love that.
Oi, Butters said, rolling his eyes. Enough, Bob.
You got it, hombre, Bob said.
I couldn't help laughing a little.
You see what I've got to live with?
Butters said.
Yeah, I said. You, he said.
He rubbed at the back of his head.
You're missed here, Harry. A lot. After a while, most of us, you know, we figured you were gone. We kind of had a wake at your grave. Pizza and beer. Called it a funeral. But Murphy wouldn't go.
Illegal gathering, I said.
Butters snorted out of breath through his nose. That was her excuse, yeah.
Well, I said, we'll see.
Butters paused, body motionless for a moment. We'll see what?
Whether or not this is permanent, I said, gesturing at myself.
Butters snapped up straight. What?
Bob thinks that there is hinkiness afoot with regard to my disposition.
You could come back?
Butters whispered.
Or maybe I haven't left, I said. I don't know, man. I get suckered into this whole encore appearance thing. I'm as in the dark as everyone else.
Wow,
Butters breathed. I waved a hand. Look, that will fall out where it may, I said. We've got a real problem to deal with, like right now.
He nodded, one sharp gesture. Tell me.
I told him about the corpse taker and her plan for Mort and her deal with the point guy of the Fomor's servitors. So, we've got to break that up right the hell now, I concluded. I want you to get Murphy and her Vikings and tell them to go stomp the corpse taker's hideout.
Butters sucked in a breath through his teeth.
I know there hasn't been time for a lot of chit-chat since you, became departed, but they aren't Murphy's Vikings.
Whose are they?
Marcone's.
Oh.
We'll have to talk to Childs.
Marcone's new guy?
Yeah, him.
Butters shivered.
Guy gives me the creeps.
Could be Will and Company would be enough.
Butters shook his head.
Could be Will and Company have done too much already, man. Seriously.
Something's got to happen. If you wait, you get a renegade wizard the White Council has nightmares about knocking on your front door. And by knocking, I mean converting it from matter to energy.
Butters nodded. I'll talk to her. We'll figure out something. He squinted at me.
What are you going to be doing?
Covering the ghostly side of things, I said. She and her wannabe Bob and her Lemours and all the wraiths she's been calling up. Assuming things go well on the mortal coil, I don't want her slipping out the back door and coming back to haunt us another day.
He frowned. You're going to do that all by yourself?
I showed him my teeth. Not exactly. Move. There's not much time.
When? He asked.
When else? I answered. Sundown.